the banishment of Satan.
The book of the Revelation. And we're at chapter 20. And we're going through the first 10 verses this evening. Every phrase and every word of these first 10 verses. Revelation chapter 20, the first 10 verses. And three subjects array themselves around these 10 verses. In the first three verses, we have the banishment of Satan from this world. You know, that'll be a wonderful day when the old devil is put out of business altogether. That'll be a wonderful moment. The banishment of Satan is the first subject in the first three verses. And then in the next three verses, we've got the enthronement of Christ. What a day it will be when Jesus comes back to this world to reign. And praise God, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. And then in the last part of these 10 verses, we've got the enslavement of society. The old devil is loosed again, and the whole society of nations is enslaved by the deception of Satan. So that we have three subjects in the 10 verses: the banishment of Satan, the enthronement of Christ, and the enslavement of society. And in these 10 verses with these three subjects, we've got many problems to face this evening. One of the great scholars said, there are more problems in the first 10 verses of Revelation 20 than any other 10 verses in the whole of the entire scriptures. And I don't think he was far from the mark. You see, here is a problem for some people. When the devil is shut up in the bottomless pit, as you can see in verse 3, that he should deceive the nations no more, when he's shut up for the 1,000 years, it says, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Well, that must is very strong, isn't it? People wonder why God takes the trouble to shut the old devil up for 1,000 years and then let him loose again. Why must he be loosed again for a little season? Dr. Safer was once asked this question, and he answered it like this. He said, if you can tell me why God let him loose at the very first, I'll tell you why he lets him loose at the end. But I don't think that's the answer we want this evening. We want something more concrete than that. Why must the devil be loosed again a little season? That's one of the problems. And then the second problem facing us in this chapter, the second great problem, is in the fourth verse. Because here we have those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, those who had neither worshipped the beast nor his image. It says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, how can this be made out to be the first resurrection? I thought that some saints rose from the dead when Christ rose. I think they did, so the Bible says. And some of us in this meeting, we believe that Jesus is coming soon. And the dead in Christ shall rise to meet the Lord in the air. And those are not the tribulation saints. Not for a moment, are they? So how can you make this out the first resurrection is the problem. And then problem number three, and it's a very big one. Last week we went through chapter 19, and we noticed in verse 20 that the beast was taken and the false prophet, and they were cast alive into the lake of fire. And verse 21 said, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. You see, not only the beast and the false prophet, but all that followed them were destroyed last week before the Lord entered to reign in this great millennial reign. Well now, if all the evil ones were destroyed before the millennial began, how does the devil do this sort of thing? When he's let loose in verse 7 of our chapter, verse 8 says, he shall go out to deceive the nations, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Where does he get this crowd from? If all the evil was put out when the Lord began the reign. These are the problems. I could pick you out a lot more, and we'll touch them as we go through the chapter. Now, we're not started yet. We're just starting now. And we're starting at verse 1, and the very first phrase, and we're taking it phrase by phrase, and we'll tackle the problems as we come along. We're looking just now at the banishment of Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw, that is John saw. This is one of the visions that was given to John. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Coming right down to earth, you see. Having the key of the bottomless pit. My, that's a terrible place, isn't it? I remember preaching on this once, and as one of the fellows was going out, he met another believer in the street, and he said, what about the meeting? Was it good? Oh, he said, it was deep, he said, it was deep. It was the bottomless pit we were at that day. It was deep, wasn't it? You know, this word, the Greek word, that's translated by these two English words, bottomless pit. That Greek word only appears 9 times in your New Testament. And 7 of them are in the book of the Revelation. 2 of them are outside the book. And I want you to see one of them that's outside the book. Have a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, for a moment. Luke's Gospel, and we're at the 8th chapter. It's the place where the Lord Jesus went over to the country of the Gadarenes and met the man in the tombs who was indwelt by a legion of demons. And you remember the Lord speaking to him, verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many demons, the word should be, were entered into him. These demons possessed this man. A legion is actually 6,000. That's really tremendous. Was this man indwelt and possessed by 6,000 demons? What a horrible thought. And these demons at this place, it says, verse 31, and they, that is the demons, you see, they besought him, that is the Lord Jesus, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. See the word deep? Well, it's the exact same Greek word that's translated bottomless pit. You know, they were afraid of the Lord Jesus. My, I tell you, this is an eye-opener to some who would belittle Christ. You know, the demons know better than the modernists. My, the demons knew who he was. You can see that these demons are agonizing before him. They're agonizing. They besought him. Yes, that's agonizing. They're agonizing because they're recognizing. That's what's wrong. They knew that he had the power to command them. Did you get the word? Command. Yes, he can command the demons. Praise God. He can command them. And he can not only command them to come out of the man, but he can command them to go into the bottomless pit, and they were scared. You know, our Lord Jesus was really wonderful. The demons recognized that he was Lord of all. So this is where we get this word. Yes, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the bottomless pit, is the idea. This is the place where God will shut up the devil one day. Now let's get back to it. We're in chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. My, the Holy Ghost wants us to be sure of this personality. Put all the words in he could get. The dragon. Yes, that old serpent. The devil and Satan. I think you've got all this, haven't you? My, the devil, the dragon, it makes us think of the devil as the devourer. You know, he's pictured as the lion by Peter, going about, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the dragon is the same animal metaphor. It's bringing out the devouring nature of this old rascal. And then the word devil, that's the word that's always used for the accuser. You know, he's the accuser of the brethren. And then the word serpent, of course, that's the word that's used for the tempter. Yes, you know, he's not only the devourer and the accuser, but he's the tempter. And then this word Satan, this is the word that brings the old rascal before us as the resister. You remember that once the high priest in Israel stood before God, and Satan stood at his right hand to resist him. You remember that Paul said once, Satan hindered us. So you see, he's being brought out in all his colors. The old devourer. The old accuser. The old tempter. The old resister of the people of God. Yes, I think if you take the two animal metaphors, the dragon and the serpent, you can see something of the subtlety and the ferocity of the devil. And if you take the other two words, the devil and Satan, you can see something of the reality and the personality of this arch enemy of the people of God. And so I want you to get this thought. I want it to thrill you that although he is a mighty masterpiece, on this occasion, one angel will be enough for him. Why, it's just an angel that comes down. And the angel takes hold on him and binds him and puts him in the bottomless pit. You see, one angel empowered and commanded by God is even enough to beat the devil. You know, I'll thrill you more. Once upon a time in this world of ours, one man defeated them as a man, the Lord Jesus. Remember, it was as a man, and he didn't use anything, only the Word of God. You remember how the old tempter came, and you remember how he said, "You're hungry. You've been 40 days in the wilderness. My, you're really hungry. Command these stones." And from the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord brought out the words. My, he brought out the word that defeated the devil. And every time the devil spake from the same book, the book of Deuteronomy, he trotted out the words. And it was because this man was trusting in God and using his words that he defeated the devil. Now, if you would really trust God and use his word, you could trump the old devil under your feet. Don't be afraid. He's not as big as he thinks he is. In a day to come, an angel from heaven, commanded by God and empowered by God, will take the old enemy and bind him 1,000 years. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Why is all this going to be done? Here's the answer. That he should deceive the nations. You get the word nations? No more. Some of my dearest friends tried to tell me that he's bound up tonight. Who's doing the deceiving of the nations? Wonder who's deceiving, who's carrying on his business? My dear friend, he's still at this work tonight, deceiving the nations. The hour hasn't come yet, but it's not far distant. Just always get the reason why the thing is done. That he should deceive the nations no more. I'll let you see the nations in a moment or two. When the devil's out of the way, they'll be different than tonight. They'll not be making other atomic bombs. No, when they take the devil out of the way, the nations will learn war no more. But they're not at that stage tonight. You're not as easily bluffed as that, I hope. They're planning everywhere for war. My, Russia is piling things up that could almost destroy the world if God didn't keep his hand upon them. And in the not too far distant future, they'll use them too. Yes, we're always being taught that we're in a better age. I wonder who learned this. Friend, you know you're not in a better age. Take your medicine. You're the Elamite babies. Is this your result of wonderful medicine? And 1,000 things are happening to us that we don't even know. My dear friends, I wouldn't like to trail you through it all this evening. But the old devil will be bound in a day to come that he should deceive the nations no more. And then it says, and after that he must be loosed a little thief. You know, there are some people who believe that this world will just end like the clap of your hand. There'll be a general judgment and a general resurrection. Where are you going to work this loosing again business in? Where are you going to work it in? If everything's going to just go with a clap of your hands, a general resurrection, a general judgment, just tell me where you'll get the loosing again of the devil worked into your plan. Oh, but it's before us tonight that he's to be bound and then he's to be loosed. He must be loosed. Well, now we'll see it working out in a moment. Let's have a good look at this fourth verse. John says, and I saw. This is another vision, of course. Quite a different one. The other one was the banishment of Satan. This one is the enthronement of Christ. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Oh, I'd love to take the Russellites here for a moment or two. I think that you can differentiate between body and soul here. Of course, the folk that he's talking about, they were beheaded. Yes, the head was put in a block and it's taken off. That's the body dead, isn't it? But I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Why, there's a differentiation between body and soul there, and the Russellites don't make any differentiation. They say body and soul, it's all the same. Well, it's not the same here. The differentiation here. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now watch what they were beheaded for. For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. My, that's what pagan popish Rome would behead me for this evening. Just because I stand up for Christ. Just because I stand full square behind the word of God. Oh, they would you. Oh, they'd like you to go and knuckle down and bow at the Pope's feet, wouldn't they? Well, we'll never be doing it. We have no notion of doing anything so foolish. You know, if they even stood by what they believed. You remember Peter came into the house of Cornelius one day, and Cornelius fell at his feet, and Peter said, "See that thou do it not. I'm only a man." But the Pope's not talking like that tonight. The only way they will unite with the Protestant churches is when they all go marching and bow at the feet of the Pope. That's the only unity they're looking for. But we're having none of it. No, we're going to stand up for Jesus. He's our Lord. And Him only will we worship. We only worship Him. And we'll be standing four square behind the Word of God, no matter what happens. And you know, there's a day coming when men who stand for Jesus, who witness of Jesus, and who stand for the word of God, they'll be beheaded. Oh yes, here they are here. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. My, we had a look at the beast one night. In the 13th chapter of this book, we learned many things. We learn far too many to bow down and worship him. We'll never worship the beast, nor his image. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Why, here's a crowd of martyrs. I want you to get that. These are the martyrs of the tribulation. These are the men who stood against the beast, who would not worship the beast, who will not receive his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. These men were beheaded. John says, I'm getting a vision now, I see the souls. And then here's the word that he uses at the end of verse 4. They lived. Now that's a tremendous word. My dear friend, some folks come right down the chapter and they make everything literal. They make the thrones literal, and they make the souls literal, and they make Jesus literal, and the Word of God literal, and the beast literal, and his image literal, and the foreheads literal, and the hands literal, and then they try to spiritualize this bit. Well, you can't do it. You just can't do it. You're not fair to the verse. Not at all. This is the resurrection of these who were beheaded. My, they're coming back to life again into their bodies. This is a bodily resurrection. And to prove it, the word that behind it bears it out. But the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. And that bowls over all the boys in this meeting who believe in a general resurrection. You're bowled out. Your wicket's down. If there's a cloud raised, and the rest of the dead are not raised till 1,000 years are finished, your general resurrection scattered like ninepins. Down, and you're finished. Want to face the Word of God? Try to get out of it by spiritualizing it when you can't do it with the rest of the verse. The rest of the dead live not again. And then, just to make you sure that it's resurrection, this is the first resurrection. Well, try to spiritualize resurrection. My, you can't raise spirits, you know. You never saw a grave digger clap a spade on a spirit in your life. It's bodies they bury over there. It's bodies. And so, my dear friends, we're at resurrection. And this is the resurrection of the martyred saints of the tribulation. But the rest of the dead, they don't live until 1,000 years are finished. You see, there's a millennial in between. We don't have the word millennium in our Bibles, but in this very chapter we've got the word 1,000 years time and time again. And the word 1,000 years come from two Latin words. Mille, did you remember your Latin roots? Mille means 1,000. And annum means year. And that's millennium. 1,000 years. And there's a millennium in between this first resurrection and the rest of the dead being raised. 1,000 years in between there. And so I want you to get the hold of that. But we've got a problem here. You see, we believe that Jesus Christ will come one of these nights. I believe it anyway. Well, he promised, I will come again. I believe his promise. And when he went away, two men in white said, this same Jesus shall so come. Bless God, he'll come. And you remember that Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What a moment that will be. And the dead in Christ Oh, that's a complete crowd, isn't it? You know, you can die just two ways. You either die in Christ or you die in your sins. And we're only thinking about the dead in Christ. They shall rise first. But a moment that will be. What a reuniting that will be for some of you. With loved ones gone before. I will now, if there were saints raised when Jesus rose, if the saints are going to be raised when Jesus comes, and then the tribulation saints are going to be raised away at the end of the tribulation, how can you call it the first resurrection? That's the problem, isn't it? Well, I'll show you how you can do it. Watch this. Let's go back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 is the spot where Jesus died. And just to save us time this evening, we're at verse 50. That Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies, get that bit, these are real bodies, bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Went into the holy city and appeared unto men. Now, all that I want you to mark is that this is a resurrection of saints. There was not one sinner raised at that time. Just saints. Just saints. The bodies of the saints arose. It was a resurrection of saints. Now, when Jesus comes again, have a look at 1 Thessalonians, and we're at chapter 4, just to mark this over again. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, that which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because you're bound to see that these are saints. They're going to be forever with the Lord. And the saints that are left on earth when Jesus comes will rise with them to meet the Lord. Ah, but again it's saints. My new one saved one will rise in that resurrection. This is the resurrection of life. And again, at the end of the tribulation period, it's only those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. It's saints. You see what happens when you get that crowd out when Jesus rose, and you get the crowd of saints out when he comes again, and then you get the tribulation saints all out. All the saints that ever were buried are out. They're all out. And you take the three in one, and that's the first resurrection. The resurrection of saints. And you see the rest of the dead. They're sinners. They're sinners. Oh, well, they'll just wait a wee while. They'll just wait until God brings them to the great white throne. They'll just wait there. So that the first resurrection embodies right from the time that Jesus rose and the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the tribulation saints, when all the saints are out and not one left, I'm going to tell you, not one ever going to go back again either. Well, there'll be no death for saints after that. Not one. And all that will be left will be sinners. The rest of the dead will lie in their graves till the millennial is finished, 1,000 years. Saints will be out. That's first resurrection. That's why it's the first. My, there's a resurrection of the just, you know, and of the unjust. Well, the Lord will get the saints out first. But let me show you this in Revelation 20. I want you to notice this. Verse 4, at the end of the verse, speaking of these tribulation saints who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, it says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. No, our Lord Jesus Christ is really going to reign on this earth. My dear friends, this book talks about the day when he will come back, not to the air for the saints, but the day when he will come back and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Coming right back to earth one day, and just be wonderful. And he's coming back to take the throne of his father David. You remember when the angel came into Mary and said, "Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." He's going to get the throne of his father David. Coming right back to reign. You know, some people question it. And I don't know why they question. My dear, I can take you for the next 2 hours through the Old Testament prophecies, and I can let you see Christ reigning. On earth, yes, on earth. And the wonderful things that will happen. I can do it in every prophecy in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Every one of them. That would take me time, wouldn't it? Suppose I only pick one out. I'll take Isaiah. I'll take you through Isaiah and let you see the Lord reign. Let's have a look at it, just for to be sure. Isaiah, and we're at the 2nd chapter. Prophecy of Isaiah. And I'll ask you if these things ever happened in the world before, up to now. Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow in unto it. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations." Tell me if he did that when he was here before. And just tell me if he's doing that tonight. My dear friend, you watch it carefully and you'll see it has never happened. Watch. "And shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. It'll never happen yet. No, you tell me the Lord's raining some of you just now. Why do we have the wars? No, he hasn't come to reign yet, but he is coming. And when he comes, he'll rebuke the nations. And there'll be a wonderful thing happen in the national realm. They'll learn war no more. You know, that will only happen when Jesus reigns on this very earth of ours. That will only happen. Now, watch again. We're at the 11th chapter now. Isaiah chapter 11. And watch this carefully again. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B there, shall grow out of his roots. The capital B, of course, is put there because it's the Lord Jesus is the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Watch this wee bit. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I want to ask you a question. Has it happened yet? My, you don't see the lion and the lamb lying down together, except the lamb's inside the lion. No. Friends, I want you to get the thoughts that we're after. When Jesus reigns on this earth for 1,000 wonderful years, there will be something wonderful happen in the national realm. They'll learn war no more. And something wonderful will happen in the animal realm. All the old wildness will go. You know, when God made them, they weren't wild. Why, they came and couched at Adam's feet while he named them. But when he fell, the whole creation was cursed. Cursed. And the animals became wild. Well, when Jesus comes back to reign, praise God, the animal creation will get blessed. And here it's before you, in your book. Now, watch again, and we're at chapter 35 now. Chapter 35, Isaiah 35. And verse 1. And the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. You know, the desert's a tremendous thing. I don't know if any of you, some of you old soldiers, have been in the desert. My dear friends, when we were traveling in Palestine and saw those burning sands, that Arabian desert that lay between Jordania and Mesopotamia, hundreds of miles of burning, blistering sand without a blade of grass. Yes, and then you take the Sahara and you take all the deserts of the world. Vast expanses of land where there's nothing but burning sand just now. You know, when Jesus comes to reign, He'll turn this barren thing into a place of beauty. It'll blossom as the rose. I want you to get this. There'll be wonders in the national world. They won't war anymore. There'll be wonders in the animal world. Lion and the lamb will couch together. There will be wonders in the vegetable world. My, He'll make the very desert to blossom as the rose. Watch this. This is Isaiah 65. Prophecy of Isaiah 65. What I'm doing with Isaiah, you can do with every other prophecy in the Old Testament. Isaiah 65, for the sake of time, verse 19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, neither bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. My, what a day this will be. You see, what I want you to get the hold of here is this, that when Jesus comes to this earth to reign, there will be wonders in the national realm, and wonders in the animal realm, and wonders in the vegetable realm. Ah, but there'll be wonders in the physical realm. You see, the oldest man in the Bible is Methuselah, 969. He didn't make the 1,000, sure he didn't. Ah, but there will be boys who will. Yes, they'll live the 1,000 right through. You know, we have degenerated, haven't we? Way back yonder, he lived 969. Well, when the Lord comes to reign, the saints that go marching in to the millennial reign, praise God, they'll not die, you know. They'll live the whole way through. The saints won't die again because the first resurrection is over. They won't be put in the grave again. They'll live right through. But you did notice that there was death, didn't you? And you did notice that there were sinners. And the Lord will deal with them. You see, this is rushing us into our other problem in the chapter this evening. Now, let's get back to it and we'll face it honestly. Chapter 20. We've just been looking at the wonders of the tribulation, the wonders of the millennial reign. You see, the first wonder of the millennial reign is a spiritual one. The devil will go bound for 1,000 years. Oh, that's a wonder, isn't it? So that when you put it all together, there'll be a wonder in the spiritual realm, wonder in the national realm, wonder in the physical realm, wonder in the vegetable realm, wonder in the animal realm. My, there'll be wonders in every realm. Now, I want you to get this. And when 1,000 years of this wonder is finished, why, it will be a wonderful thing when Jesus really reigns in this earth. It'll not be democracy, mind you. It'll be theocracy. It'll be God really governing the earth. And he'll manage the animals and the physical and the vegetable and the spiritual. He put the old devil away altogether. And it will be a wonderful 1,000 years of blessing for this old world of ours. Now, why will God let him loose again? Why spoil it? I'll tell you why. First, I want you to notice this, that he was cast into the bottomless pit and shut up and sealed, left there for 1,000 years. And then verse 7 says, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He was a prisoner. And shall go out to deceive the nations. Back on the job, the first day is out. Back on the job. You see, this gives a blow to this cursed doctrine of purgatory. You see, the papal church tonight, they tell us, at least they try to tell us, that if you can put a spirit into the prison house of purgatory and shut them up and keep them there, eventually they'll repent. And they'll not want to be bad boys anymore. Well, the devil has 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, and he's the same when he comes out as he went in. I can tell you that just blasts purgatory. That's what that does. He's just back on the job the first day he gets out. He's still the old deceiver, and 1,000 years in the bottomless pit never made a mark on him. My, don't listen to this baloney that comes from Rome. But that's not why he's getting loosed. It just proves that that's nonsense. But that's not why he's loosed. You see, our God has tried man under every sort of wonderful blessing that he could give him. You remember he put him in the garden first. My, everything was well in the garden. Yes, he was innocent. He was perfectly made. Death hadn't entered and there was no sin. And he was enjoying the presence of God and had sweet fellowship with God. But although everything in the garden was lovely, as we say, he blasted it. He deliberately sinned, you know. Blasted. Then God put him outside the garden and let conscience take control. He tried under conscience now. He knows what's right, what's wrong. But the two sons that were let loose, Cain and Abel, my, Cain knew right well in his conscience that Abel had pleased God with his offering. But although conscience was working, he killed. And so God takes them from the garden and from conscience and he puts them under the Ten Commandments. He says, I'll write the law for you. I'll put you under a real law. And from the tenth one right backwards up to the first one, they've broken every one of them. My, we all sit guilty tonight with the tenth commandment. The tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet. And we're all guilty. but the person in the building who hath at some time or another coveted something. All guilty. And you know, if you go backwards up the commandments, you'll find that the next one is thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, people tell lies to get the thing they covet. And if you go to the eighth one, thou shalt not steal. You know why people steal? Why are the fellows being tried today for the railway business? Because they coveted the money. That's why. Why did Hitler plunge this world into the terrible atrocities of the last war? Why were so many slain and murdered? Because he coveted the world for Germany. The farther up you go, the deeper it gets and the darker. How horrible it is. Yes, and you know, in this age, God is trying us out in grace. He's been gracious to us. Gracious to the whole crowd of us. My, some of us were only hypocrites. Do you know that? Real bluffers. Yes. Some of you old Baptists pick you out first. Slip into bed and out of bed. Never say a word of prayer. Then you can come out and talk to the pastor about scripture, the length of your arm, you hypocrite. Getting under your skin, that's what I'm here for. My, we pretend that we believe that men are going to hell and they'll be damned and lost and tormented. And some of you were never at the prayer meeting yet. Pretender. You don't believe it. You only tell me you believe it. Couldn't get some of you out of bed with a crane in the morning. Oh. Your mother standing at the end of the stairs so she's blue in the face. Yes. You're the fellas with the vision. Oh, yes. Yes, with vision. God only knows what sort we have. But you know, in spite of all our hypocrisy and our deadness and our coldness and our indifference and our carelessness, my God has been good to us. Been gracious to us. God's been gracious. We have failed him, but he's been gracious. The Baptist in Lurgan never deserved this. This is here not because of us, but in spite of us. That's what it's here for. In spite of us. Friend, God will test this world again. Not in the garden. Not under conscience. Not under law. Not under grace. He'll test it under the reign of Christ. He'll give man everything that God could give him. Peace and plenty. Christ reigned. And then he let the devil loose to see what's happened to him. And when the devil gets out, they're as bad as they were at the beginning. You see, we want to face the problem. Last week when the beast and the false prophet were being cast into the lake of fire, you remember that. And the 21st verse of the 19th chapter said, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You know, God blotted out all the evil followers of the Antichrist. God blotted them out. And then the Lord came down, and these tribulation saints and other saints were brought into the kingdom. And they reigned with him for 1,000 years. Where did the devil get the crowd from when he came? Well, it's quite simple. You see, if there is no death, or very little, in 1,000 years, and there's peace and plenty, well, this world will be multiplied with children. There will be countless multitudes born in 1,000 years. Mark this. They'll be born sinners.
It doesn't make a matter whether your father and mother is a saint, you know. When you were born a sinner. Don't you ever think it runs in the blood. Or don't you ever think because your old dad went to the Brethren of the Baptist that it makes you any better. You're a sinner. Every child born is born a sinner by nature. Child of wrath. Even as Adam. And when there are multitudes of sinners born, the devil will have no bother getting an army when he comes. And how quick he will get it. He'll be let loose in the first day. He'll get a complete army. How horrible. Our world will have completely failed. Although they've been blessed under the reign of Christ, although they've been blessed with peace and plenty, yet they'll step under the banner of Satan the first day he's let loose. God will just prove that human nature is no good. That's what he's proving. And watch what happens. It says in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. You see, we're on the earth now. And there is an army that belongs to the devil. And there is the camp of the saints. And the beloved city. And it's on the earth. Don't bluff yourself. It's on the earth. And fire came down. You know, some of them tried to teach me that this city's in heaven. Ah, well, the fire's coming down. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Mark the R. So are they there. They were put in before the 1,000 years began. They were put in last week in chapter 19. They were put in before the millennial reign. Well, at the end of the millennial reign, they're still there. Oh, the Russellites are in the fix, aren't they? They talk about annihilation. Oh, well, these two boys were not annihilated. They're still there. Still there after 1,000 years. Still there after 1,000 years. Now, here's a wee word for you. Watch it. At the end of verse 10, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. It's a horrible word. My dear friends, this lake of fire for every sinner, it's a place of torment. Place of torment. You know, I just want to show the saints something before we stop this evening. I want you to see this. When the Lord comes to reign, you know, he can defeat the devil for 1,000 years. He can bring peace for 1,000 years. He can make the barren place rejoice for 1,000 years. He can control the wildness of the animals for 1,000 years. Yes, and bless God, he can give strength that people never knew. And the bit I want you to get is this. You know, if we believers, if we could just open our souls the way we should, and if we could crown Jesus Lord of all, if we could put him on the throne of our hearts, if he really reigned in our bosoms, you know, we would have peace that we never had before. And you see this old barren thing that's no use and can do nothing for anybody. He could make it blossom as the rose. He never took a muddier piece of clay than me now. And he makes it bloom in time. And you know there's a wildness in here. A wildness that I'm not able to control. But there are times when he absolutely just controls it. Sometimes there are wee fellows who come to annoy me, to say things, and I just feel like lifting them and throwing them ever so far. And there was a day in my life when I would have done it, and it wouldn't have cost me the second thought. And yet the Lord controls the wild thing. And the lion lies down with the lamb. And friends, He can give you strength and grace you never knew. But it's only when He reigns. He need to reign. We need to let Him reign. We need to bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him. Crown Him Lord of all. May it be so. God bless you.